content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's the best of Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Hopefully neither one of us are here because it's the best of. And we're all winners when we do the best of. We get to stay home. For me, I get to stare at the TiVo and get drunk. For Drew, he gets to follow his kids around and live his life vicariously through the eyes of three young, beautiful triplets. So, and you guys get the best of Loveline. So, without any further ado, here it is, the best of Loveline. Yeah!
Ow!
I tell you, this radio, man, you gotta get it on. Hey, Drew.
Yeah, Adam.
You know what I'm this close to doing, brother?
Will,
don't
watch
do
out.
Watch out.
He'll drop trowel. Don't let him. He'll do it. Don't do it. 9:31 after 9 o'clock.
Will Sassoon studio tonight. Funny man.
Thank you.
What, you want me to drop trowel? I'll drop trowel.
I will drop trowel. Will, watch it. He's wild.
I like the morning DJ gets a little out of hand. I will drop trowel. I will lube up my joint and put it in your ear, and I will reach climax. 8:29:29. The homoerotic DJ that drops that crosses the line every once in a while, but does it quickly, and he gives a timeout every time, right when he gets to that point where he's going to get fired. Yes, sir?
Right. Or the traffic.
Let me tell you how you know how I like to get pre-miserable? Like, I like to start thinking about what I have to do Monday on Friday.
I think you were talking about when the Super Bowl ends.
Oh,
why'd you bring that up?
Yeah, why'd you bring that up?
The day after the Super Bowl.
Oh, it's weird.
No hockey. We got to watch basketball.
It's such a letdown. It's like that feeling, you know, that as the Super Bowl party is breaking up, it's really bad when it's a bad game and it's sort of over in the midway through the third quarter, and it's like you already start you see the chicks are busting the chips already, like things are, and it's like this is it.
Last year with Carolina with it as an expansion team, it just doesn't even feel like a real
Super Bowl. Right? Yeah. What is that?
Yeah. Now that's
you already get bummed.
That's another thing. Yeah, you want it to be, you know, Dallas Pittsburgh sort of thing. You don't want it. Be a couple of guys there. The guys wearing the fuchsia and the magenta,
the teal cobalt.
Guys and the cobalt, and then the guy with just a black fist on their helmet, that team, Screw Whitey, those guys, it's like, what? This looks like Canadians at best, maybe Arena League stuff.
It does look like Arena football, doesn't it?
What's the new stuff with the teal? What? And here's what I'm sure they did. They talked to a bunch of retarded 15-year-olds and said, "What's your favorite color?" They're like, teal. And they're like, "All right, let's make every expansion team."
Well, they're trying
teal
to do what
it,
like the NBA did, basically. Like, wow,
make everything teal. Yeah. I heard a fashion dude or something covering. They were doing a sports thing about uniforms, best and worst uniforms, and this guy stuck up for Jacksonville Jaguars uniforms, which are some of the ugliest.
Horrible. Right,
they're ridiculous. And he said, in 10, 15 years, we're going to look back and they're going to be classic.
No, here's what I don't think so. Here's what I think you do, especially when you enter the league, when you're an expansion team. Instead of going, hey, everyone, look at me, I'm new, I'm bold, I'm an arena team, you should go old school. You should do a sort of Colts uniform kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just
white.
Two colors, white. And that way, you sort of slip in under the radar. It's like, you know what it's like?
Oh, no,
it's
I
like,
think it's like leather helmets.
I was going to, I wrote that. See, that's,
yes,
what's that
leather,
word?
Leather.
That's
right.
You actually go that's back.
A, yes, go all the way back. No face guards, leather helmets.
And all white guys.
Yeah.
Undersized,
no,
white,
now
fat,
too,
white guys.
You've gone too far. Forget it.
I don't care if you're
competitive. Anymore.
I mean old school.
Art Donovan. Bring him back.
Art Donovan, high top black cleats, and no face mask.
Jerry Kramer.
That's right.
If I ever had a franchise, they'd be purple and brown. Those would be the colors. Just two colors that don't go together.
Yeah, they really don't.
Helmets have to be white.
And purple and brown.
You get a logo or a stripe, but you don't get both.
Maybe green numbers.
Yeah. And the stripe doesn't continue into the pants. Not wide, at least. It can be a thin one.
And cougar cats.
Yeah. Yeah, and you got to, you should pick a good animal. I agree.
Yeah, and it has to be an animal. Have you noticed in the NFL, all the teams end with an S? There's no heat. You know, like in the NBA.
Because they're a pack of animals.
Yeah, everything has to be a something.
Yeah.
Vikings.
Cowboys.
And underutilized. Let me tell you, underutilized in NFL and sports in general, the hippos. Hippo, dangerous animal.
Why? No rhinoceros.
Hippos and rhinos. No hippos kill more people than, you know, snakes and bullets and spears. Turn me off. It's
quick. It's double Adam.
Yeah, it's a love line. We had a little technical difficulty. That's why we had to run a best of. Well, you know you're hurting when your best of starts Will Sasso.
I like Will.
I like Will, too, but come on, best of. No,
well,
we got
the best
real.
Of that they really reach for with 40 seconds to spare. No,
right.
Come on.
All right. Phone number. Let's get the phone number out. We'll just start the show. 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. It is good to be back in studio tonight. And we have a real celebrity in our ranks. Howie Mandel is here.
I'm huge. Hidden
Howie's the name of the show. I guess we got to turn everything up.
They're all the way up. Everything's up, Anderson.
You hear that guy talking to you, right?
Yes, yes. No one else does.
Pull your mic.
Let's all speak right into our mic.
Okay. All right, right. I'm here.
Hidden Howie premieres on Bravo at 11 o'clock on August 18th.
Thursday.
Oh. Yeah, Thursday.
Yeah, this coming Thursday.
August 18th.
Yeah,
right.
Huge. The private life of a public nuisance.
I have I've seen some spots for it. It looks good. I watch a fair amount of Bravo, actually.
I do too.
I watch Blowout.
Yes, of course. It's my wife's favorite.
I think Bobby Brown. Watch Bobby Brown. I see a little Pauly Shore on there, and
Pauly Shore's not on Bravo. He's on TBS.
I'm usually drunk when I'm watching TV, I realized. And with the TiVo, I lose, you know, you don't identify the stations with the TiVo. It's just your show comes on next.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
By the way, the drunk thing is just an issue of probability.
Right.
What's the probability you're not drunk when you're watching TV? I mean, be fair.
It's a good point. Howie also is in a movie called The Aristocrats, which is out. Well, it's coming out. It's out in New York. It's coming out here on Friday in L.A.
And it's been here.
Well, it says it opens wide. I'm sorry.
It's spreading on the
19th.
Right.
Okay. Right. Wide opening.
It's been in the
cool places, but it's going to open to the red states.
And people were telling
on the
me
19th.
When they go in there, even late at night, the thing would be packed on those limited release theaters.
Yeah, it seems like we were doing really well. Yeah.
And I guess Sarah Silverman was in here on Thursday with Jimmy Kimmel. She probably explained a little about the Aristocrats.
They told
the
joke.
They did.
Yeah, and I'd never heard.
She's amazing in the movie. She's really funny in the movie.
Yeah, she's a great.
I'm not talking. Are you talking to me when you're saying? Somebody keeps saying into the mic.
Anderson, when you give us direction, give it
over
the air.
That'd be good. Howie, could you talk into the mic a little bit?
He's in the mic.
I don't want to touch the mic, and I can't get any closer to the mic.
Oh, that's right. You can't touch the mic.
I can't touch the mic. I can't touch people.
But how about touching the back of the mic?
Yeah, I can, but I don't. Does it have to be closer to my mouth? Are they not hearing me?
Here's what we'll do. We'll turn Adam down.
Can we ask the audience to get closer to the radio?
That's a better plan.
I'd like to back up from the mic, and I'd like everybody listening to get closer to the radio.
When you talk, Howie, and then Adam talks, I can't hear you at all. That's the problem.
Well, that's always.
So can we ask Adam not to talk?
Yeah, how about we have Adam turn down just a tad?
Well.
No, go ahead, Adam.
I'm like the voice of
God.
But
he's not closer than I am to the mic.
No. All right, they've turned me down. Let's not focus on this. Let's put this ugliness behind us. Yes, the aristocrats.
Right.
Tell the joke again, because it's worth telling, I think.
Who, me?
Well, either of you, just because it's such a strange
joke. I don't know the joke.
Well, nobody knows the joke. The joke is made up.
I don't even know how the joke goes, though.
Well, that's what's peculiar.
The movie is based on this joke that has been in existence since vaudeville that is told amongst comedians.
Yeah.
And it's really very rarely, except in the movie, and there's been a few other times where it's told publicly or even being broadcast. And it's the actual art of telling a joke, and the telling of the joke is what's fun.
The point is the joke is nothing. It's a zero.
Nothing. It's about a guy comes into walks into a talent agent's office, and he says, "I got a great act. I want you to book this act." And the talent agent says, "What's the act?" And he says, "It's a family act. It's my wife, my kids, my dog, and I. We all come on stage, and then the joke begins."
Then the joke begins. Right. And it ends with, what do you call this act?
The aristocrats.
That's it.
That's the joke.
Now, I had no idea what it was, except for Gilbert Godfrey told it on the roast of Hugh Hefner in New York about 4 or 5 years ago.
Which is in the movie.
That's in the movie.
Oh, that is in the movie.
That tape is in the movie.
Now I'm going to see it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
that made you go see it? But nothing else would make
well,
you.
Well, and how my...
Because he's in it. See, Adam's in it
betrothed.
There.
Yes. It's the wonderful Howie Mandel being in it.
Ah, yes.
I'm going to go there.
But it's like giving a jazz musician five notes. They don't sound like much. But when
in between the setup and the punchline, the object is to be as vile as you could possibly be.
With scatological, as
scatological, sexual, profane.
In terms of what the family's doing as part of this
to
act.
To each other, to, you know.
And the punchline is they're called the aristocrats.
Yes.
After they've been this vile. And not only is it to be as vile as you could possibly be, but it was also part of when I learned it and have heard it, was to stretch it out as long as you can possibly stretch it out.
Uh-huh.
So to be vile and try to hold somebody's attention for, my record is like 41 minutes.
Wow. Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Wow. So you're a craftsman.
No, just annoying.
Well, I mean...
Public nuisance.
You've known this... How long have you known the aristocrats joke?
From the time I was 12. You know, I've learned it in different incarnations, but from the time I was 12, I started.
Really?
Somebody told me the joke, and I started telling friends the joke. And
did you always know? Well, you got started early.
Not at 12.
No, but
did I always?
You got started early in comedy, right?
Yes, we got started. No, I was in my early 20s. Is that early?
Early 20s? No, it's not.
No, 50. I'm going to be 50. I'm turning 50.
Wow, you look good.
You don't look so bad yourself.
Thanks, buddy.
You coming on to me?
A little bit.
Okay. I started at 23 was the first time I ever stepped on stage.
Oh, it was.
Yes.
All right. Not.
And I didn't know I wanted to be a comic, but I knew I wanted to annoy.
Here's why I say you. I assumed you started young, because Howie Mandel, you know, people remember Saint Elsewhere, and they remember his stand-up specials and all that kind of
talk
stuff.
Talk show.
Seemed like a long time. Well, the talk show wasn't talk show wasn't that long ago, really. But the Saint Elsewhere.
But not memorable, either.
No, and, people remember that.
All right.
Because you guys were on it.
Let's not argue. 22 times. All right. Now, here's the point. The point is Howie Mandel has been around for a long time, and I assumed Howie Mandel was 40 years old.
Right.
So I assume he got started when he was 13 instead of 23. I didn't know he was 50.
Right.
See,
what a long-winded compliment.
I did
thank
the
you.
Reverse
thank you.
Math.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, but there's nothing more fun and entertaining to a person than to be vile where it is inappropriate.
Right.
And that was always that's what you're supposed to do with that joke. You're supposed to be inappropriate. It should be it told in a very inappropriate place. To the people that probably wouldn't want to hear that kind of material. And he's got 100, and when I say he, Paul Provenza and Penn Jillette have 100 people in our business talking about the joke or actually telling the joke. So go see the movie.
All right.
I heard there's an interesting twist in the joke where somebody sets it up in a very aristocratic fashion.
Right.
And then the name is changed.
To a very vile, scatological title.
Right. Yes. Wow.
It's a very interesting twist.
Oh, yes. That's a nice twist.
And Sarah has a great twist on it where she makes herself actually part of the joke.
She's a great, great stand-up.
She really is.
And a great lady.
She's a bedwetter, too.
Oh, well, was a bedwetter.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I've gotten into that many time with her.
Did she tell you a story about her going to see her therapist after they were trying to treat the bedwetting?
Wetting the sofa?
And the acupuncturist came running down the stairs, and the psychiatrist had just hung himself.
Oh,
she's
really?
She's 9 years old.
Her psychiatrist?
Yes.
Where's the acupuncturist?
This is in New Hampshire.
You mean
she was waiting in this little Victorian office building.
Really?
Right? And the one guy climbing. She's been waiting and waiting and waiting. A guy comes down the stairs sobbing.
He's the acupuncturist.
And she's there for bedwetting.
She's there. I don't know if it's bedwetting at that point, but she's maybe 12 or something.
At the therapist for bedwetting.
Yeah.
Wow. Heavy.
Every time I look at my vagina, I want to punch somebody.
All right.
Ever since.
That's
been her attitude.
Let's take some phone calls. I'm going to get a plug in for my own self, by the way. A little too late with moi.
Is that
on,
tonight?
Comedy Central. It's tomorrow
Monday,
night.
Monday, yeah.
But you know.
But the rest of the country.
Rest of the country, yeah. Monday through Thursday, 11:30 on Comedy Central. Tune in and see my nappy head in the flesh.
Monday through Thursday.
Monday through Thursday.
Oh, so you can watch me at 11 and then you at 11:30. I'm on
absolutely.
For half an hour.
Beautiful. And then me at 12.
Ooh.
On Wednesday.
Wow.
What are you doing at 12?
I have a show on Discovery Health Channel called Strictly Sex.
It's been on for a number of months, Howie. Thanks.
Megan? Thanks for bringing that up. I feel pretty good. By the way,
what are you doing? 12.
It's fine.
No, there's too many shows.
I wouldn't expect Howie Mandel.
No, I wouldn't. He's a big star. He doesn't have to watch.
But you know, I watched it. What I was doing is leading you into a plug.
I knew. Well,
I have never missed. I have never missed an episode.
Strictly
of,
Sex. Strictly Sex. Sex.
Okay. Does Megan? Megan have a
Megan?
Yes.
Megan.
Yes.
What's up?
Nothing. How are you?
Good.
Good. I guess I had two questions. I told her one. The first one was, I don't know if I think two or three nights ago, my boyfriend and I were having sex. And I don't know what exactly happened. This
Megan, what are you doing right now while you're trying to speak to us? You like doing the dishes or something? You're running a treadmill?
I just ran down the stairs.
Okay. All right. Take a deep breath and let's out with it.
Let's
here.
Pace it up.
Here we go.
We're not that interested.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Or just pretend we aren't that interested. No, you're talking to somebody.
No,
wait.
You're speaking in the cadence of as if the audience is interested. We didn't come to see you in concert. Right. We're in a hurry. Here's either we're huge fans or you're smoking hot, but both those are out the window.
We can't see her.
We can't see and we don't know who you are, so let's pace it up a little bit.
We don't have enough information to work on yet?
Right.
She hadn't told us a question. Here we go.
Oh, there is a question.
Yes, there's a question.
Okay. I thought she was just reporting in.
Instead of orgasming, I urinated.
Oh!
Did you have an orgasm while that was
Sarah?
Happening?
No.
Sarah? So is that you?
Silverman?
That's what I was thinking.
Good point.
Every time I look at my vagina, I want to punch somebody.
Yes, Megan, this happens all the time.
Are you?
It does?
Well, that's yes, it does. It's called female orgasmic incontinence. But are you having an orgasm at the point in which you pee?
No, I did not.
Like, so you just sort of...
I didn't know that it happened until a few minutes later when I realized that everything was extremely...
All right. Have you had babies?
No.
So she didn't have the orgasm.
She just lost the urine, which happens...
That's never happened before.
I know, I understand, Megan. But that typically happens with people on medication or people who've had a bunch of babies where the pelvic architecture sort of relaxed.
Yeah, I know. But hold on. When you're 18 and you're talking about... orgasmic problems. You don't have to do that. That's never happened before. How long? How many years has a guy been on top of you? You're 18. I mean, you know, if you're one of our callers, maybe 6 years tops.
Yeah.
But of course, it's never happened before. Right. Nothing ever happens before you're 18.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, man, we get that. That's why you're calling.
So, right. Is this a medical problem?
Yeah. You're not on medication?
No.
Well, it's possible. Maybe you have a urinary tract infection. Maybe it was just one of those things that day. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't have to mean anything serious, but is typically a problem of women that have also stress urinary incontinence. Do you also lose your pee when you cough or laugh?
But how
like
do you know that she peed? How do you know that maybe he peed in her, and when they were finished, she emptied out?
It's hard to do that when you're having a erection.
Aristocrats.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Megan.
Be a good family act, though.
I don't know if I'm
Why don't you try having sex again and see what happens?
Okay.
Well, wait right here.
I wouldn't worry about it. That'd be the point. And it does happen sometimes. Again, as I said, usually women have had children though, so might have to look in. It might be urinary infection.
Maybe she had children.
My one concern
know.
Is it could be urinary tract infection. So if you have pain when you urinate or burning or anything like that, just look into it.
Yeah. I heard in the news somebody crapped out a kid and didn't know it a couple days ago.
Didn't know it.
Yeah. I know.
What do you mean crapped out?
Left it behind, drag it behind, or?
It just didn't know she was pregnant.
Oh,
just,
I thought know. I was fat.
That gave birth.
It happens.
Yeah.
It happens a lot.
Yeah.
And believe me.
That happens a lot?
She was fat. Whoever this is.
Oh, yeah.
Was
yeah. They never worked that part of into the story.
Yeah.
That's not an oddity. That's a lot of people just give birth and whoops. No,
I mean, it happens more than you would ever imagine. And it's usually very obese people who literally just thought they were fat. But
look,
not
my crap fat. Is crying. My crap is crying.
Well, I don't want to get racist, but the color of the child may have been the same as how I refer to
him. Right.
All right. I'm just saying that's not the work of a Jew or an Asian.
The aristocrats.
It just isn't the work of a Jew or an Asian.
How dare you? Are you?
I'll tell you why.
I'm offended. And you're profiling.
Asians are svelte people. Jews, they're in the hospital every 3 weeks checking something out, so there's no way that's going to get past anybody.
No Jew has ever popped out a child by accident.
No, it's never happened.
Okay. No, it's always on purpose. It's a tax deduction.
Sarah?
Yes.
Howie, one of the times Howie was on the show, he was talking about how his dog went and dug up his child's foreskin and
ate
it.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's brought it back to us.
Yeah,
brought it during back the
bris.
Well, yeah, it had to be the bris because it would.
Yeah, otherwise.
Otherwise.
It's a horrible ceremony.
Yes, it's we have a pit bull who wouldn't. No, it's just the bris is the. We had that. You do that as part of the ceremony. You take the foreskin and you go out and you bury it in the yard. But my dog uncovered it and brought it back to us.
Wow.
During the ceremony?
Yes, actually during the ceremony. He played fetch when we didn't want
that
him
is,
to.
That is now only at a comedian's bris, mind you.
Yeah, how do you... I didn't know there was that part about burying it out in the yard.
You didn't know that?
I figured it'd be like what you do with a goldfish or something, like down the toilet or something. Like, I didn't know what you did with the foreskin. Yeah, what's that?
Send it to the path lab.
Yeah, nowadays you should save it, right?
No, that is if you have it done in the hospital.
Right.
But a lot of people have it done in their homes.
Yes, yes.
It's usually done in the home with... there's little sandwiches, party sandwiches.
Oh, yeah, no, I know.
Herring and...
No, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's part of the buffet.
You should send it to the pathologist lab.
Sure. Anything that comes off people, if you're in a hospital.
They just go look at it?
Goes to path lab.
So they can look at it or dispose of it?
Just identify it and catalog it and dispose of it, yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
Incinerator?
Yeah.
They don't bury it?
No.
No. So you buried it and the dog dug it up?
Yes.
Wow.
And I brought it with me this evening.
Sarah?
Sarah?
The dog, I hope. What's up?
Hey. What's going on, guys?
You're 20. What's going on with you?
I have been battling a yeast infection since November of, I guess, last year.
Are you sure it's a yeast infection?
100% positive. I've been tested like 3 times and tested for everything else.
There's an actual loaf there.
So no, she actually delivered a loaf. Nice.
Battling a yeast infection, too. Just I picture pulling out a sword. The yeast drawing the iron, it shields, you know, just clang, you know, does a thing where he swipes it in the candelabra.
Yes,
maybe since out. November. So that's like, well, how long is that? That's like 6 months, 7 months.
It's like forever,
that's
longer, it's yeah.
8 months. Because I know that women use like they use that Monistat 7 or Monistat 3,
yeah,
and that stands for the amount of days that it is.
Yes.
So maybe you accidentally bought Monistat 8 months.
Did you take? Have you taken Diflucan for this?
I've taken Diflucan. I've taken Triconazole, which is the insert. You know.
Yeah.
And I have,
what's the longest you were on the Diflucan?
I was on Diflucan for, I believe, 3 months.
Wow.
I know.
And do you have any medical problems or anything else we should know about?
I don't think so. I've been anemic, and I'm just sensitive and stuff, but nothing, no.
Okay, and have they identified the kind of candida, the subspecies of candida? Because
they haven't told me. I should probably add right now, I'm doing the boric acid treatment.
Oh, boy. Here's the deal.
Boric acid?
That recently there have been a spate of resistant candida.
Mm.
Just the way they're resistant bacteria, there's some resistant candida out there now, too.
Mm-hmm.
So really, they need to identify the type of candida this is.
Yeah.
Candida, not Canada.
Yeah, what's she doing with the borax?
Boric acid.
Boric acid.
Just, you're. What are you doing with acid?
Imagine it's going in.
Sarah?
Yeah.
What are you doing with the boric acid?
They put it into pills for me. Basically, they compounded them, and I just put it up there twice a day.
Yeah.
Wow, just trying to kill anything that's up there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hopefully. It's not as painful as it sounds. Don't worry about that.
What are the symptoms of this kind of...
irritation, discharge, burning, all that stuff, right, Sarah?
Yeah. Why don't you put her on hold again?
That's fine.
But, you know,
it's
got to be,
Pretty unpleasant.
Yeah. All right. It's bad for the boyfriend, too.
Yeah. It seems
can
like
we get it?
Yes.
Yeah, you get them in
you
your
can.
Skin. It's not
I
a big deal.
I think I got it once.
Yeah, but it really doesn't hurt men at all. But for women, it's uncomfortable. And I think really you got to get some consultation or maybe get infectious disease involved with this and, you know, look into the... This is an unusual situation to have it this long.
All right.
So, I've never seen you look this worried.
I'm not worried about her. I'm just troubled that she has going through all this. It's just really unpleasant.
Yeah.
It's not going to harm her.
And it sucks. Mm-hmm. And it's one of these things, too, where it's like a guy having a hemorrhoid. You don't really get a whole lot of sympathy from your work buddies.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's certain things that are as painful or as bad as you know, getting a finger cut off when it got slammed in a door of a cab or something.
Right.
But yet, there's no sympathy.
Well, classic story is I did a piece for this Strictly Sexual guy that broke his penis, fractured it.
Yeah.
And he, you know, first of all, he wouldn't do anything about it. Then it turned huge, like a mushroom and black.
Right.
And then he went,
but that seems like a positive.
We're going to the hospital.
Black part,
and so he goes, takes
and
his
huge.
Thing. First, they take his foot flat and huge this way. Like
right.
a big flat mushroom.
Conversation piece.
Well, it's true. Paperweight. But they had to take the dog to the brother-in-law to you know, put the dog somewhere. They went to the hospital, and the brother-in-law goes, "What's going on? We're going to the hospital." He goes, "I broke my penis." Brother-in-law laughs his ass off, of course, until he shows him.
Shows the brother-in-law.
And then the brother-in-law says, "Get to the hospital."
But also, banging the bejesus out of your sister?
I know. Or maybe it's his brother. His brother-in-law, I think it was.
Yeah, see, that's weird to me.
It's weird, yeah. He's busting his chops.
I pounded your baby sister so hard that I actually tore my cavernous body inside my penis.
Nice.
All right.
Let's put that on a loop. Doing it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Slipped out and pow.
Pow. It's usually the women that take the brunt of that damage.
Usually.
Well, those days are way behind.
Way behind.
We'll take a quick break. Howie Mandel is in studio tonight. We'll be right back after this. Yeah, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Howie Mandel is in studio tonight. He's got a couple of projects. Hidden Howie's the name of the first one, which is out this Thursday, August 18th
it's
at 11 o'clock.
It's a hybrid of hidden camera pieces and a sitcom. You can go to HowieMandel.com if you want to see some of the hidden camera pieces.
Nice. On 11 o'clock on Bravo, and then out in wide release is The Aristocrats.
Where'd they get you with the Aristocrats?
In my house.
They came to your house?
They went to everybody, wherever they were. They got me at my house. They got, you know, wherever anybody was, in their office, at their workplace. I was at my house.
How much heads up did they give you?
No, I had a week. They said what day would be good, and you know
did you prepare or did you just kind
no,
of,
no, no, no. I didn't know what they said. You know, we're doing a. I had no idea what it was.
Oh, you didn't know you're doing The Aristocrat.
No, that we knew that he didn't know what it was. Paul and Penn called me. I know Paul Provenza for years, and they said, you know, we don't know what we're doing. We're just getting every comic we possibly can to tell this joke and to talk about this joke. And I go, well, what is it? Is it a documentary? Is it a movie? Let's just get it together and we'll figure out what it is.
But, I mean, you knew you were going to do the joke.
You know what joke
I'm
you're
saying.
Gonna talk
so
about.
Everybody did the joke, and then we talked about the joke. Mm. And everybody had their own little take on it. And then Paul went away for about a year and a half and cut this thing. And, you know,
Were you happy with what he did with you?
You know, I'm happy to be part of it. It's what he did with me. The only, I think I talked for about an hour with them, and I'm in the movie for maybe 3 minutes now, and with the C word, only the C word, and I keep repeating the C word.
That's all you do is say the C word over and
over and over. That's all I talked
about.
Sounds
very entertaining.
Pardon me?
Very entertaining.
Well, true.
It is. So that's and you know, that's the way he edited it. I had actually only I did the C word for over an hour, but they only left 3 minutes of the C word in.
All right. I want to talk to Megan, Drew.
All right,
look at this call. It looks too good to be true. Megan?
Yes.
You're 15?
Yes, I am.
You're bisexual?
Yes, I am.
And your family's homophobic?
Yes, they are.
Uh-oh, someone's angry.
So what's your question?
Are we boring you, sweetie pie?
No, it's just kind of been bothering
Hold
me.
Hold on a second. Everyone just close your eyes and picture Megan about, say, like 11 years.
Oof.
Just pissed off. She's 15 now. Just picture her in a few years. See? Look down the road. What do you see?
I figure I'll come to her at a customer service desk.
Yeah.
That's where I figure I'll run into her.
Yeah. Says something to do with an airport, too.
With a Band-Aid over some of her piercings.
Ooh.
Yes.
Megan.
Yes.
What happened to you, baby doll?
Well, since I was about sixth grade, I found out that I had a crush on a few girls in my school.
No, that's not what he means.
Yeah.
That's not what he means.
I figured that part, but...
Well, there's got to be some history.
Where's your dad? Yeah, let's talk a little history first.
My dad?
Yeah.
He kind of ran off. Whenever so I was shocked. Little, so.
How old were you when he left?
Probably like 2 or something.
And what was 2. He like before you left?
She didn't remember.
Yeah, what'd you hear about?
I don't remember.
Was he hell on wheels? Right.
He did a lot of drugs.
There you go. That's what we're talking.
You guys are good.
All right.
Did he?
I can hear it in her voice.
Yeah. Did he do anything to you, or one of the other drug addicts your mom brought around ever do anything to you?
No.
Hmm. Hmm.
Molestation. Nothing.
Hmm. Mm. And he took off, and your mom, did she remarry?
No, my mom never married my dad.
What were those?
Well, all right. Did
other did, other did a-holes
she,
come
did
around?
She get, is your mom married now?
No.
And she never got married?
Nope.
But there were guys around?
Yeah, occasionally.
What were they like?
They looked like hippies.
And
was she laughing?
Yes.
Why?
I don't know. It just kind of seems like all the men that she dates or brings home, they work a lot, and they run off.
And they what?
They run off.
They work a lot and then run off.
Your mom has never been married.
No.
Wow. The bizarre. All right, so who do you live with now?
My mom. Mm.
All right. Anyway. And how do you know she's homophobic?
Well, at a family reunion about a few years ago, they were talking about...
Hold on a second. She's calling from Missouri, and over there, homophobic means scared of houses.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
So I just want to give it a little clarification. It's a Missouri
call. It spells something different. It's homophobic.
Yes, Megan.
Okay, well, there was a gay person on TV, and
a gay male.
Speaking of Bravo, everyone, Hidden Howie, 11 o'clock Thursday nights. Go ahead.
But they're all making fun of him, and like, you being gay is so gross. I mean,
they're just having a good time, though. It doesn't make you homophobic.
Cares?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So what's your problem? Do you want to tell them now?
That's the question.
I don't know. I want to tell them.
Why?
Because she's angry at mom.
Yeah, that's only a payback to mom thing. Listen, if 15-year-olds are interested in keeping information from their parents, if you were having sex with a boy, it's the last thing you would tell your mom.
Right.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, Megan. I know you're angry, and your mom's the only one around to take it out on because your dad split and abandoned the family and left your poor mom to do her best with you.
And all the other guys that came around were abandoning
Right. Please don't take it out on the one parent that decided to stick it out and do what was right. You understand?
Yeah.
That's your mom. I'm not saying she's perfect. She is present, though. Your dad split. Your dad was a coward. Your dad took the easy way out. Your mom stayed behind, and she did her best to do her best with you.
All right?
Do not punish her for that.
Okay.
And realize
me,
that
however crappy you think your life is, add 25 years to that. That's how crappy your mom's life has been.
Okay.
All right,
that's
baby.
Very funny.
I'll see you in junior college.
Oh, yeah.
Have fun. Please don't move to California.
And
don't come to L.A.
Do not get pregnant.
Please. Don't get pregnant and don't come to Los Angeles. Those are my only two pleas.
So what you're saying is stick with the lesbian thing.
Perfect.
Yes.
Fine. Beautiful.
Yes. Yes.
I just don't think that's going to last either, though. It's going to be both soon.
No, that's just...
A ruse to act... Because she was brutalized by men and she acted out against mom. There you
then,
go.
You know, women are flexible sexually. Yeah. So if you screw with them enough, they'll just go over. They'll just bounce around. It's just, what it is? It's just chaos, really, for women.
Yeah.
Whereas men, when you're gay, you're gay.
You're into it.
You're into it. Women, it's just, they're just chaotic. They don't have boundaries, so they just get chaotic and they just bounce around.
Two words, Anheish.
Yes.
There you go.
Got involved in doing functional MRI scans on men and women, and we had them showing images of women to women and men to men. And the men, outside of consciousness, they're not aware of this. They can't describe this. But you see their brain characteristics.
What do you mean showing women to women?
You sit in an MRI scanner, and they scan your brain.
Erotic stuff?
While you look at erotic images.
Erotic.
And
one
of the images is of men or of women.
Right.
And then you see how the brain responds to that. And the males, all of them, 100%, and they didn't do any homosexual males. They were all heterosexual males. Had no conscious experience. They didn't bother them to look at these images, but their brains lit up with a threat response. Every single one. And remember we talked about that feeling?
Yeah, yes.
That is a biological thing that's based in the amygdala.
Right.
And women don't have that response when they look at women at all.
Right.
They get none of that.
Right. So here's...
Whatever that is,
So here's what we're talking about.
So all women are possibly bisexual.
They're more fluid. They're more, more capable.
They don't have those alarms.
Like
yeah, that go up. I mean, here's...
This is a good thing.
Here's something we always talk about. And I never heard anyone else talk about it, which is everyone trying to talk everyone into being homophobic and how society is so homophobic. Here's my answer to that. Straight guys, when they see gay erotica, have a visceral reaction like, oh, my God, I can't look. I have to avert my gaze. I have to hold my hand up.
Yeah.
Like if you see a guy graphically having gay sex, it's even hard to talk about for straight guys, with another guy, it's not that you're homophobic. It's not that your mind isn't open. It's not that you're uptight.
You just react.
You viscerally do it. It's like seeing dentistry or something.
Right.
You know what I mean? Seeing a deer get hit and lying by the side of the road. It's like, oh,
exactly.
My God, I don't want to. I can't look at this. And by the way, a lot of these guys are the guys who love the Seven Faces of Death films, and they love stuff where guys are getting, you know, decapitated. Look, if someone said, look, we have a terrorist videotape that shows a CNN reporter being decapitated, these guys would run to the computer to take
Absolutely.
A look at. These same guys are going to gag if they see two guys 69ing. Drew's going to do it now, too, right. So,
this is comical.
This isn't uptight. This isn't homophobic.
It's in the
this
genes.
This is a visceral reaction that straight guys have. Now, considering every straight guy has that, there is not very much abuse of gay people. If you think about the fact that within every straight guy walking the planet, there's a, oh, Christ, no, reaction, and 1/10 of 100 of 1% actually goes out and pees in a fire extinguisher and sprays it on a guy cruising down in Boys Town or takes a bat to somebody or something. The actual abuse compared to the 100% of the visceral reaction,
right?
Not that high.
Well contained.
Like, I would argue when you're talking about gay bashing, I would say, oh, ho, wait a minute. We deserve a medal for the lack of gay bashing that's going on out there, considering what resides in the inside of every straight man.
Yes.
And the studies are being done right now on homosexual men to see how their brain responds to this, what's different about it. And then the big conundrum will be why.
Yeah.
Why is the one different than the other?
Yeah, and I don't know any other topic that heterosexual males universally agree on in terms of reaction. It's not that way with food. It's not that way with anything else.
The equivalent of seeing your parents having sex.
So nobody's really. So no heterosexual man is actually homophobic. It's just a.
It's a visceral threat response.
Physiological.
Yeah. Threat response.
Well, wow. I think the homophobic part comes in the reaction where you actually pick up a bat and go after somebody, but. What the super liberal a-holes don't understand is this is inside of every straight guy. So technically we're all homophobic. It's just a very small percentage of drunken ass kickers act on it.
And it really, it's not homophobia so much as a characteristic response that's unpleasant.
Yeah.
You're not afraid of it. You don't want to hurt people who do it.
Let's put it this way. If you replaced homosexual acts with black people, this would be considered racist in a huge way.
Yes.
And I would imagine, and they probably haven't done this test, if you took a heterosexual man and you showed them images of female homosexual activity.
Oh, it lights up very nicely.
Much more than heterosexual activity with a man and a woman.
Ooh, interesting. Now that varies then.
No, that doesn't vary.
It doesn't.
They actually can't distinguish. They couldn't distinguish very well. It's in other words,
either way, you're
well. I can tell you when I watch porn.
Yes.
When they get to the shot of the guy, it's kind of
it's threatening.
It's a little turn off, even though he's with a woman.
Yeah, yeah.
But if there's two women there,
interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
It's more erotic.
That's where we part ways.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I like guy girl better than
girl.
Drew's a man of passion. Yes.
Yeah,
thank
it's
you.
All pretty good.
Either way, Drew lit up like a pinball machine.
Yeah,
they
put me in the scanner too, and
they did.
And my scan came with
I think girl, there's nothing, there's no bad.
But the scientist, the researcher, the thing comes up on the screen is like,
he's a man of fashion.
Wow.
All right, let's take a little break. Howie Mandel in studio tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Howie Mandel is in here. The Hidden Howie is the name of the show on the 18th. That's this Thursday,
11 o'clock.
Bravo.
HowieMandel.com.
Also, The Aristocrats, which is going nationwide on Friday.
Huge.
Let's keep on keeping on and speak to Amanda. Amanda?
Yes?
What's up?
I have a question for Dr. Drew about crack.
Okay.
Cracked, the name of his book. You see, Drew,
yes,
how I do that?
You.
Because
well
it sounded
done.
Like she said crack, and
My crack. Okay.
No, like a drug.
Yeah. No, it's a book called Cracked that I wrote a couple years ago that's still going around.
Yeah, I'm going to get to that.
Yeah, someday.
Go ahead, Amanda.
I won't hold my breath, though.
First, I just wanted to say it was really good, and Adam, you should read it.
I'm going to.
Thank you, Amanda. Before hell freezes over, he might.
I have a question. You told someone, I think it was Finley in the book, that... why you decided to save people.
Right.
Because of the man with the red crosses in his eyes.
Right, right.
And I was just wondering why you decided to get into, like, addiction medicine to save people as opposed to, like, a lot of different other ways you could.
That's an excellent question. Really sort of
serendipitous. I think I should answer.
Okay, go ahead.
No, yeah, instead of emergency medicine.
I'm not sure I can answer it with great accuracy because it has some sort of deep psychological reason to it. And it must be, you know, symbolically, those are the kinds of people that I like saving because addicts are a particular type of people. Yeah. Also, you can restore them to complete health. I mean, you really end up with people better than they ever knew they could be.
Well, Drew, would somebody who... See, I wouldn't think of someone who did emergency medicine, who just triaged people who were shot and stuff, as codependent.
Right.
You're more codependent, exactly. And that can work in your field.
Right. It means.
But wouldn't dentistry fall under the same? You could restore people to even better than they actually were.
No, you're taking people from dying to better than they actually were, and to restore them psychologically.
But from an overbite to a gorgeous smile,
you could do that too. I appreciate that when they do that. In fact, but the going from really dying to better than they knew they could be, and to have sort of a psychological connection during that saving process, I think is really what that story was about.
Hey, yeah, people always saying, well, not about Drew, but about their, he saved my life, Dr. So-and-so
saved my life. And when I would actually do that in a sort of ICU setting or something, or an emergency room, it didn't mean anything to me. Interesting.
No, I mean about the medicine, though. I mean about the addiction medicine part.
Yeah.
All right. Amy?
Yeah?
29?
Hello?
What's up?
Hello?
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 Yeah.
Right. Hold on. Ken.
Adam.
Corolla.
We're trying to replace Marco Polo, the kids pool game.
Oh, that's great.
With Adam Corolla.
Do it again, Ken.
Adam.
Corolla. I love it.
Yeah.
It works. Nice.
Yeah,
it is.
Marco Polo's had a run for like 900 years. Screw him.
We're just starting with Adam. That's great.
Yeah.
Adam
Corolla. You have a pool?
I do have a pool.
You have children?
Yes.
All right. What about Adam Carolla?
I'm going to do it. Please. I had no idea until right now, and starting tomorrow. There, I'm gonna take the kids
frolicking.
Out to play.
Frolicking.
Frolicking. Let's play Adam Carolla.
Go ahead, Ken.
I had a theory about that Marco Polo game. I think that it's called Marco Polo, not because he was an aquatic navigator, but more because the name Polo and the word pool are the same letters. And so you need to kind of create a pool called like a Ricola or something.
Okay. Oh, interesting. Because water polo has nothing to do with the same letters as pool.
Right. Marco was sort of lost in Asia at one point. He was following his father. Through,
I guess I'm wrong.
And it's like, Marco, where are you? He was following his father through. You know?
Is that, yeah, well, that's what you think.
That's what I think.
All right. Go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, I've been listening for 10 years. I'm a huge fan. You're a comedic genius, Adam. I love you.
Thank you.
I had a question for Dr. Drew about addiction, gambling addiction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to know if gambling addiction falls along the same lines as alcoholism in that there's like a gene or a genetic predisposition for gambling. Mm,
I would, generally, there are some genetic elements to it, but it's not as clear-cut as, say, with alcoholism per se.
Mm.
That most gambling addicts, in fact, are really alcoholics. And this is just a way of manifesting that disease. But there is.
You sound like you know what you're talking about.
But there clearly is a subset that overlap that is.
I will bet you $200 that Dr. Drew could take care of you.
I find, you know, with gambling, it's sort of. You know what the equivalent of it is Vicodin, which is. I haven't really met too many people that don't like Vicodin, and I haven't met too many people that don't like gambling. Doesn't mean it takes hold. It just means almost everyone I know, when they're going to a place where they can gamble, get excited about gambling.
And if you've got the gene, then it's more likely to take off.
Then you're screwed, and it's probably more insidious in many ways than, you know, alcohol, because at least alcohol takes 20 years to really ruin your life.
But there is sex addiction. Addiction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So wouldn't that be the same?
It's in the behavioral addictions in general is sort of evaluated the same way, but sexual addiction exists in most addicts. And then when they stop their addictive process, their chemical addiction, you see sexual addiction emerge very commonly.
It's tough with gambling because it's such a profound part of all human construct to be attracted to it. I don't know anyone who's not in sex too.
And food,
right? So then where do you stop? I realize I don't gamble because I'm cursed. I realize other people gamble because they think they're lucky. I know I'm cursed.
Right.
It keeps me away from it. I get my ass kicked every single time.
Yes.
It's like I'm being punished when I gamble. All right. Let's take ourselves a little break. Howie Mandel in studio tonight. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Howie Mandel is in studio tonight. Hidden Howie is the name of the show. August 18th, this Thursday, August 18th, 11 o'clock on Bravo, and also The Aristocrats, which will be out in wide release on this Friday. Yes,
you know,
Drew.
As much as I dislike those Gorillas, I like that song.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. Drew, we hate the band, the Gorillas, but we're starting to like the music.
Wait, Anderson, is it the Gorillas or Gorillas?
No. Yeah, it's just Gorillas. Don't piss them off.
Gorillas. Yeah. Yeah, you get them angry if you say the.
I hate to do that.
I love when bands do that, which is they leave the off where it should be, and then when everyone says the, they then correct everybody.
Hey, well,
why do you hate them? You had them in? You had a run-in?
Tell Rick to answer the phone. A-holes. I'm going to try and get your other ear going.
Thank you.
All right, Rick, answer the phone.
Speaking of the thing, I'm still angry with the campaign that the Smokey the Bear people put out. Trying to make him Smokey Bear instead of Smokey the Bear, which you've all grown up.
I didn't know it was.
Oh, yeah.
There
was. They said there was a big campaign saying, would you call him Santa the Claus, Easter the Bunny? And
they weren't trying to get you to switch. They were just making a joke about it.
It seemed like they're trying to. My response is Felix the Cat.
Yes.
I don't remember
Felix the Cat.
The wonderful, wonderful cat.
It's his name.
I don't remember the campaign.
You don't have to listen to crappy public service ads every night like we do.
No. Yeah, you would.
Forced to.
Yeah, we're forced to. It's part of the gig.
Right.
All right. Shall we move forward?
Yeah, I feel like I'm.
Reset his.
Not really doing anything here.
No, I did. I just promoted it, Drew. You weren't listening.
I wasn't listening.
And your show can.
My show, too late. Monday to Thursday. Adam Carolla, Monday through Thursday on Comedy Central. 11:30.
11:30. I'm 11.
Yeah, you're 11.
11:30. And you're at 12.
12 Wednesday and Saturday.
Straight sex.
Then you watch me, and then you go over to Dr. Drew's show, Cracked, or whatever it's called. You know, I was.
Do people know what goes on here in between? You know, you hear this conversation and this.
Go ahead and share.
Witty repartee of yes, all the time, and then he says we'll be back with more after this, but they don't stop, but they don't sit here. The conversation continues, and it goes down the hall, and then they make a turn down a dark corridor, but they continue talking about whatever the last caller was talking about, and they continue through the darkness. I followed them past a kitchen, through another maze and cubicles, into a very clean men's room where they stand side by side at a urinal. Continue the conversation.
Yes.
It never ends.
No.
It never ends, and it continues.
Talking.
Never stop talking.
On the drive home.
They don't lose.
We talk until the phones cut out.
This is not a show. Literally. You people are just eavesdropping on their life.
Our conversation.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah. Let me say something. I don't know why, but I was thinking of this. Buzz Aldrin, the great astronaut, was on my TV show last week at some point, and somebody brought up the fact that there's a guy who keeps going up to Buzz Aldrin and saying it's a hoax.
Really?
Man's never been to the moon. America's never been to the moon. And one time he actually just punched a guy out after he kept bothering him.
Nice.
This is some years ago. But anyway, there's always been this group of people. Ironically, the same people that say we have a spaceship at Area 51 probably think we never went to the moon,
right.
Which is like, well, certainly if you believe we got a spaceship, you should at least give us credit for going to the moon. But the point is they think it was a hoax. They think it was filmed on a soundstage. And I said to somebody the other day, you know, Neil Armstrong screwed up his phrase when he put his foot on the moon. He said, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Right.
It should have been one small step for a man.
A man.
And one giant leap for mankind, because man and mankind are the same thing.
Yes, yes.
One small step for man and mankind mean exactly the same thing.
Right.
So I said, look, if we staged this, he would have had another take.
That's right.
He would have cleaned that up.
That's right.
If we were doing that, and it would have been...
Especially if it was for Comedy Central.
It would have been scripted. One small step for a man, one small step, one giant leap for mankind.
That's a great point.
And if Neil Arm... And I swear to God, I know this sounds retarded, but this is how I'm absolutely unequivocally positive that it didn't happen. Because if it was on a soundstage... They would have redone it, and he would have gotten it right.
So therefore, the Gorillaz actually exist.
That's right.
I liked when Buzz said you were talking about the possibility of evidence. I think it was on your show. He's evidence of extraterrestrials. He said, look, he quoted Carl Sagan and said that extraordinary events would leave extraordinary evidence.
Yeah.
As
good point.
Well said.
Yeah, it was. Amy?
Yes.
You're 29?
Uh-huh.
I want to know if it's possible to have the herpes virus and never have an outbreak.
That's right.
So you can be a mule for the herpes virus, but never actually have an outbreak.
Carrier.
In fact, you can be a carrier or a mule.
How he looks at the world is just
this
that.
This is my hell. The
world is everyone is having dry herpes.
Yeah, and particularly women can do that. It's rather common.
Why rather common?
Well, yeah, it's thought of as common, in fact.
Do you believe you're a carrier, Amy?
Actually, I was tested for it, because
not a blood test.
Yeah, I did a blood test.
Yeah, the blood tests are worthless for the most part.
Oh, okay.
Unless you have, extraordinary evidence.
But, it should be a written exam.
But Drew, if someone tests positive for the herpes via blood test.
And you have suspicion.
And never has a breakout.
I would consider the test erroneous.
You would?
I would. If they, on the other hand, have a question, I had one time had an outbreak, and I've got this positive. This test is only accurate when interpreted in the context of its clinical circumstance, and there's got to be some evidence. So.
Mm-hmm.
So why are you tested positive? Why
because it's herpes.
Tell you that?
Well, some doctors choose to interpret it a certain way. I think the only way you can, if you really need to settle the score, you have to get a culture done. And was this a gynecologist that you saw?
I guess you'd call them, they would look comparable to like a canker sore.
Amy. That sounds like
that's herpes.
So that you said you had no evidence.
You said you had a blood test.
Yeah. If I saw her eyes, canker sores and a blood test.
Well, you're still a carrier.
Right. No, you got it.
Either way, you're muling.
The canker sores were on your vagina, right?
No. Not down there.
How many nose? On your throat. Well, everyone has those. It's terribly common.
On the throat.
Everybody has those?
But herpes viruses in the mouth? Yeah, very, very common.
Canker sores.
That's why the blood tests are usually positive, because people get exposed to these things all very, very commonly.
She said on the throat.
Well, you know, in the here's the reality that when it becomes more generalized like that, it's oftentimes either medication or it can be a primary outbreak.
Amy.
Yeah.
You said you had them on your throat.
Well, I had a canker sore on the back of my throat, and so I went to the doctor, and they did a culture of my throat. And one of the doctor that I went to see, which wasn't my primary care physician.
So you did do a culture. That's not a blood test. You did a culture.
No, but I did. He did a culture, and then he said, "Well, I want a blood test."
I see.
So I did a blood test. And
were you on medication? Were you on antibiotics or medication at the time?
I can't remember because it was a while ago.
Because it's a real typical medication reaction to have that big ulcer in the back of the throat there.
All right. Good times.
Assume you're contagious with your mouth.
With my mouth.
Yes.
Does that mean that there's a potential for it to be, for it to show up down in the vaginal region?
Nope. Not unless you give it to somebody and then he gives it to you down there.
Maybe she's double jointed and she could. She can't give it to herself.
I don't hear about double jointed so much anymore. What happened to that?
Yeah,
that's why I'm here.
Yeah. You know, the other thing I miss too? The people who have one leg that's shorter than the other.
There's don't hear about that so much.
What was that one kid
that had a shorter leg?
A little bit shorter.
And used to, and couldn't help going in circles.
No. They had the shoe that had the thick sole on it. That was always weird and creepy. Yeah. You don't see that thick sole shoe anymore.
Probably because it's all corrected surgically.
It all gets done at birth now, I think. Yeah, there always was that kid. It was always, you know what made it?
That's a big leap from double jointed to the short-legged.
Nah, not really.
That's probably
no. Still joints.
Hip dislocation or something.
Yeah, whatever it was.
Double jointed is now called Cirque du Soleil.
every if you went to public school, there's always one kid that had like the weird arm or had the weird short leg. And it got weirder when they took the regular tennis shoe like an Adidas or a Nike's and then put the extra sole on it.
Yep.
I know what they were going for, but it looked extra weird because you recognize the shoe. Yeah. I just like the orthopedic shoes with the thick one.
Yeah.
And that we had a kid who had the weird short arm. Mm-hmm. What is that, Drew? How does that work? Like the
Thalidomide,
weird
probably.
Is that
underdeveloped?
Like, yeah, just the underdeveloped sort of whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he would overcompensate by, you know, getting in fights and being picked first. And it turned out to be pretty good at everything. Yeah, and it was weird, but it was always known as that guy.
Depends.
But you don't see that guy anymore.
No, that's why. Can we correct these things now?
When I was in grade school, there was one or two kids that had something going on.
Mm-hmm. Always.
Always. Mm-hmm. And now...
How about the leg braces, those metal braces?
The polio braces. Yeah.
Well, there are all kinds of reasons.
Now it's all, they're all Stepford kids.
Yeah.
Everyone's fine, everyone's healthy, everyone's strong.
I hate that.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
It must be the
good old days.
The Chinese herbs have been brought around and took care of everything.
Yes, that's what it was, the herbs.
Yeah.
They've been around for 2,000 years.
But suddenly they became effective.
Or was it modern medicine? Nikki?
Hello?
You're 23?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I have a question for Dr. Drew, and I was just wondering, I've experienced a significant decline in my sex drive, and I was just wondering if this is a physical thing that I can maybe, like, overcome, or if it's a mental thing.
Well, if it's biological, physical, it's usually medication. Have you started birth control pills or something like that?
No, not... You know, I've been on birth control long ago, but I'm not on it right now.
You're on nothing now?
Nope.
And are you
and
taking
I have a serious boyfriend, so I'm...
Any medication now?
No.
Nothing?
No.
And you've been feeling okay otherwise? Normal periods?
Mm-hmm.
And when did this switch?
I don't know. It's been for a while now. I guess I feel like I don't find the same pleasure out of sex that I used to.
Are you losing your sort of... is this relationship losing its spark in some way?
No, not at all. We're engaged and, you know, a good...
Does that mean something special to you? A marriage is sort of things you expect
absolutely.
To fail?
No, not at all. I mean, I'm...
So your parents are together. You wouldn't expect a marriage to fail?
Oh, no, not at all. But, I mean, this whole problem has really taken, like...
Are your parents together?
Yeah.
All right. And there's no falling out of love. There's no
extra pressure on the relationship because of the marriage coming up.
No, nothing like that.
We couldn't hear a word she said. What'd you say?
No, nothing.
All right. And you guys have been together for how long?
It's been off and on for 3 years. And I mean, we took about a year break.
What happened during that year?
Oh, I had to go back and finish school and kind of just be on my own for a little bit.
That was your choice to break it
off. F his bodies.
It was kind of something we both decided I needed to do.
To he wanted to do it.
He thought he could get laid.
Right.
What ends up happening is guys hook up with chicks, they get laid 3 times a day for 2 years, and they're like, wow, I'm going to take this...
disgruntled
momentum and take it on the road. This is going to be awesome. And then they step out in the real world and it's like... What's crickets? Yeah. It's like, what's going on? Hey, ladies. Woohoo. Hello. I've been getting laid 3 times a day. I'll settle for twice a week. What do we got? Looking for fresh Spoontang. Who do we got? Any takers? And then it's like, nothing. And then they get back together after 6 months.
Yeah, but he got back with her, who has now lost her interest.
Well, but it maybe harbored her resentments about what just went down.
Nikki?
Yeah.
Now, you guys decided that you should take a year off.
Yeah, but I mean, this is something that, I mean, during that break, I was with somebody else, and I still didn't have the sex drive that I used to.
Mm-hmm. Were you feeling resentful about this guy being away from you?
Oh, no, not at all. I just don't feel like...
Hey, listen, Nikki,
at all?
No is fine.
Yeah,
just
not at all makes us...
suspicious.
Yeah, me thinks thou protest too much.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. So, you, and what was he doing during the year off?
Just working, whatnot. He wasn't dating anybody or really seeing anybody, or like you guys were saying, he may have been sleeping around, but he wasn't.
Okay.
He tried.
Is this a big mark difference in your sexual drive? How much sex were you having before?
Probably like 3 or 4 times a day.
And now?
maybe like once a week.
All right. Well, most commonly, the most common reason, I'm just playing odds with this, is bipolar disorder.
Mm.
Somebody who's tend towards manic depression, where they become hypersexual for periods of time. They're very effective at work. She goes to school. She does all these things. And then she gets into a more depressive phase, and the libido drops, and they're not quite as active. And they're not. And this may be mild. It may not affect her function. It may not be something that needs to be treated. But it's a suggestive biology that could take off. Be careful with substances. That can really amplify it.
I was at the movie theater last night and ran into Caroline Ray.
Oh, yes.
Who did that thing where she yelled at me as I was like, Adam! She was eating dinner outside. I walked past her. So I stopped and talked to her. And then there's that thing. I don't know if this ever happened. It must happen to
you guys. Why does speaking about bipolarity bring Caroline Ray to mind?
I don't know why. I was just thinking, she yelled. I talked to her for a few minutes, and then I was like, great, come on the show, fantabulous. Oh, thanks. Oh,
we haven't seen
great.
Her in a long time.
Haven't seen her in a while. And then I went to the movie, and there's that thing where you run into them again.
Now what do you do?
But you kind of shot your wad.
Yes.
But you have to say something, because now you're actually against each other in the popcorn line.
Here's the line. Here we are again.
Here we are again. It happened like three or four times. Oh. And then at certain points, that weird thing where, like, just look down, honey, and keep walking. Like, because we don't know what else to talk about.
Oh, my.
But and then I realized, so I was walking and she was eating outside with a bunch of people, and I passed her. I was down the road and she yelled, Adam. And I like looked and turned around and doubled back and came back to her. Later on that night, when we were leaving, my wife and I, the theater, I saw the director of the TLC show I'm working on, who's a great lady, getting along fine. And she was like, there's Paula. And I said, shh, honey, keep walking. And it was just my instinct. And she's like, don't you like? And I like her. Keep walking. And I thought, my instinct is to always pretend, just keep moving.
Yeah.
Pretend like you don't know.
You don't like contact.
I don't. No, I realize.
It's like hassle. It's work.
I think you blow your wad here.
Maybe that's
Drew.
It. Maybe that's it. And I think there's a. So Caroline Ray yelled at me when I was 30 paces down, and she was looking at my back, and I was way out of sight and all that. I saw the. And I haven't seen Caroline Ray in many years, and I saw the woman I see every day who directs my show, who I like, and I told my wife, keep walking.
Adam likes the clutch in, and if he has to engage the clutch to have a conversation or whatever, oh, no, that's too much. That's not good.
Well, I'm not a people person.
You would keep walking. What would you
I don't,
do?
You know,
what do
you but do I have different issues.
I know. You don't want to touch.
But I don't want to touch, but I don't want to even get I think I have weird thoughts. I don't like to. I don't engage. I walk with my head down. I very rarely go out.
Right.
But I walk with my head down, and I don't.
What are the thoughts? I'm just curious if you're okay.
I just don't like being out in public. I just, I feel like I'm going to.
You're being watched or that people are, whispering.
I'm very neurotic. I don't like to be touched. I don't like to be, I believe there's germs everywhere, and I'm this close to being a little bit of a
Howard Hughes.
I could get there.
That's what. Oh, there's time.
You see the Kleenex boxes on it?
Yeah, I was wondering what those were. I thought they were Birkenstocks. Yes.
Yeah. No, so I'm very close. And, we were talking before the show. I don't think, but that's a big thing. You know, everybody's extending hands and touching. Mm. I'm on a campaign. You want to start Adam Carolla instead of Marco Polo.
Yeah.
I don't want people to, I believe in sex.
Right.
I believe in hugging. I believe in all that. But I don't want people to touch.
And the handshake.
No more handshakes.
I'm with you.
I think I like the whole Asian thing with the bow. I think there's no reason to.
This is perfect.
It's great to see you. It's good seeing you.
Let me
Caroline.
Tell you.
Let's get high back.
Look, I want
to Caroline
bring,
Ray.
Look
at you.
I want to bring the Asian thing back for the cell phone. I want people to start saying, hey, when you're talking on the cell phone, because I drive through the canyons. I'm long-winded. I don't know if you've heard.
Yeah.
The phone cuts out, and I realize that I've been talking for 18 minutes now, and the person's been gone for 15 of the 18 minutes.
Such a relief the other end. But
anyway. Right, and then every once in a while, you do that stupid thing where you go,
hello?
You go, are you, hello? And they go, yeah, I'm listening. And you always feel like a narcissist and an idiot.
And what did I say?
You draw all the time. Right. The Japanese, they just say, hey, so the person starts talking,
so
and they're
hear,
constantly
you know,
being
you
affirmed.
Them.
I get it.
And they're being affirmed. And it feels good.
Yeah. Hey.
It feels good.
Hey.
Like, Drew, just start. I'll say it. I'll just start talking. Okay. I'll just say, oh, man, I'll tell you what. I don't know why they put those stickers on fruit. You know what I mean? How did we get along without those stickers on the fruit? And you try to pull it off, and it takes the skin off with it. And you got to take a knife and stuff. Couldn't they just put the sticker on the outside of the package? You have to put it on every single goddamn nectarine. See?
When I was going for the Asian thing, it's just about the height. The height makes me nervous.
But on a cell phone.
So just you know they're there. Nervous.
Yeah, but you would know the person was there all the time. I mean, L.A. is such a horrible town for cell phones.
I don't care for the person to even be there. Ooh, how I like making the call.
How is he going with the Unabomber? He's going away.
Wow. He's going to a shack in the woods. I agree with you on the handshaking. I totally agree. Not for the germs, just for the fact of why go. I like that. I like the elbow. I like the knuckles. I like the bow. The bow's nice.
No, but
bring the elbows back instead of the knuckles.
I do the knuckles, but the elbows. I used to do. I had Band-Aids on my hand, so I would say, "Oh, look, I have a Band-Aid."
Oh, really? Oh, you'd put that there
before I came up with the. I got these huge rings that
seem intimidating.
Yeah. Yes, I have huge rings now, but just so you won't touch my flesh.
Yes, yes.
But the thing is, I used to have the Band-Aids on, and I'd go. Somebody would extend their hand, and then I would extend my hand, and then I go. I can't.
Right.
So then they would grab my, all of a sudden, the left hand.
Grab your other. Oh, yeah. That didn't work.
And then I put bandages on both hands. But then I had to explain.
Can I suggest this?
Go ahead.
The fact that you don't want to make contact with the hands could be the sort of spearhead or the reason, maybe the thing that propels you not wanting to be out in person in general.
It is.
You know what I mean? It's like there's people that have bad skin, and all of a sudden they don't want to date. They don't want to go.
I've been with the same girl for 30 years, so I'm safe there. You know, I don't have to date. If I had to date, I probably wouldn't. At this point, where I am in my mind, I probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
Date.
No, I'm saying that if somebody has like rosacea, the problem where they turn red or something, they don't want to do anything.
There's a slightly different thing than from isolating because of you don't like how you appear and that sort of thing from this, which is an anxiety disorder, you know, about the obsessional stuff. And that very quickly bleeds into agoraphobia.
But it all stems from the hand.
It does. But agoraphobia is actually.
Or is the hand an excuse to propel
this? But listen, agoraphobia is. People think of it as a fear of open places.
I thought it was agoraphobia.
Agoraphobia. It's a fear of crowds in reality.
Right.
It's a fear of being out in public.
Yeah, I have that fear. I'll tell you, I just want to put out a quick shout out to the people at West Hills Hospital Emergency Room who see me frequently with my heart palpitations.
Really?
Yes.
It's an anxiety thing.
What do they do? What do they do when you come in there with palpitations?
I'm hooked up on an EKG, and then they say, no, Howie, you're just...
anxious.
Go home.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I got this card. I walked around with this card for a while. The guy, a doctor, gave me...
That's what you put in your chest if you have an event.
Yeah, on the phone.
It's called an event monitor. Yeah.
I had an event monitor. Yeah. So my life was an event, which is a
wow.
Nice. Hi. It's a positive. You can see the positive in that.
Hi.
So I walked around with that for a while. I'm kind of
Howie
messed up.
Yeah, no, you're very forthright about it, and it's a
it
good
makes
radio.
My life easier.
Oh no, yeah, why not? Just
because somebody sees
it.
Me, if they see me outside afterwards, they go, "Oh, I heard you on Loveline. I won't shake your hand."
No, it's good. I've said this all the time. It's like Snoop Dogg gets to smoke weed wherever he wants. If I smoke weed, I got to go to my basement and put a sheet over my head. Snoop Dogg gets to do it in the green room at Kimmel because that's what Snoop Dogg does.
Right.
Once you get the word, it would be stupid for Snoop Dogg to pretend he didn't smoke weed. Instead, tell everyone he smokes weed and he can smoke it on a plane. You, Howie Mandel.
That started out being Willie Nelson's idea.
Right. Did rip that one off from Willie Nelson. You let everyone know that, hey, man, I'm weird about this stuff.
Don't touch
and
me.
The next thing you know, we're just like, okay, how you know? You don't shake hands with Howie. Come on, man. It's a different set of rules. It's smart. As opposed to hiding it for many years, which I'm sure you did.
And I did. And I was going nuts, and I was in and out of the hospital and the emergency room. And now I just, you know, when I did the talk show, you guys were on the talk show.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, Paramount said.
Oh, people have to come out every day and greet you.
And Paramount said, you know, you can't talk about this crap. You know, you can't, you know, because we don't want to focus daytime television. You know, there's a different kind of audience. Uh-huh. They're not going to, you can't talk about it every day. You're going to have to deal with it.
Right.
And the way I dealt with it is my friend's a surgeon. And I called him and I said, yeah, what are you guys using that? What's that stuff you use to scrub up?
You have the scrubbing.
Yeah,
stuff.
The scrubbing for surgery.
You use that after the show?
Before and after. Mm-hmm. And during the show, I had Purell. And then right around the end of the show, when the show was getting canceled, I started getting warts all over my hand. And I said, what is this? And I went to the dermatologist, and apparently I had killed all the antibodies in my using too much of that
stuff.
See
what God does.
And the viruses. Mm-hmm. There were just viruses all over my hands.
Wow.
I don't use that stuff anymore.
Good. Smart. All right, but Howie, let me just make this observation.
Go ahead.
You're being very forthright about this stuff, and you're putting it out there, and that's probably healthy. On the other hand, maybe it's enabling you a little bit, too.
To do what?
To spin out with it a little bit because now people know. It's like Snoop Dogg with the pot. Hey, man, I'm wearing it on my sleeve. This is who I am. Now I got a little momentum with it. Is it gathering ahead of steam?
Well, you know what? And not this wasn't the segue into plugging the show, but it is part of my show because it's part of me and it's part of who I am. And so I can use it.
Right.
And I realize that I can use it and find the comedy and the entertainment value in it. But by the same, and it also works and makes my life a little bit easier. But I am in therapy.
Good.
And I am, you know, as I talked to you before the show, I'm supposed to be medicated. I'm not taking the medication for it. So it's a real problem.
Have you tried the medication?
I'm afraid to.
Maybe Prozac?
Luvox? I didn't ask him what it was. He goes, I'm going to prescribe. Some, and I said, I'm not going
to. How about a week just to see what it does?
I don't want to.
Not curious?
I don't know.
What if it made you feel better?
Not a heavyweight like you.
Yeah, we tried to see what it did.
You know, I was and a lot of comics talk about this on the air. You know, I saw an ad. Every ad you see for every pill, for everything, has like 5 million side effects worse than what you're trying to fix up. You know, there's one out now that's for incontinence.
Sure.
Incontinence, and then you just...
That's the lawyers make them put that there, though. Yeah. But if that doesn't...
So you defecate in your pants. So you're not urinating. You're not peeing
anymore.
But
you're going number two.
But you're going number two.
Right.
But I'm not urinating.
That's not going to be you.
How do you know?
Well, you should... You
know, I'm comfortable with people. I'm shaking hands, and my pants are filled with crap.
I think...
But I'm comfortable.
I don't think you want to take the drug, because if you take the drug, you might start shaking hands, and you don't want to shake hands.
No, I just... You know, I'm happy... You know, I'm doing okay.
All right.
You know, I'm doing fairly well.
How's your wife? She's cool with this? Kids and everything?
She's I have three kids who
daughters, right?
I have two daughters and a son. Who I, you know, we constantly say, don't be like...
Remember the Briss story?
Yes, Briss story. Right, right.
Yes, yes. Don't be like dad. So they're all normal. My wife's normal. But they create a world for me to that I'm very comfortable in.
Right.
So they know I have things that I touch. I have my own little, there's we call it like normal, a guest bedroom, but it's actually just a place where if somebody has a cold, I can go.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
If my wife is sick, or even if I'm sick.
Wow. To me, I'm too lazy. I would embrace that lifestyle too, but it's just, I would burn too many calories. Meanwhile, I eat junk that falls on the floor. I wrestle stuff away from my dog and eat it. Like, I got nothing. I don't even know what's bad, what's
good. But you don't know what triggers this thing. You know, I have babies, and I change them.
You do?
Yeah, they're dirty diapers, yeah. Well, they're not anymore.
It's not irrational. It's not rational. It's just a biology.
All right. Let's take ourselves a little break. Howie Mandel is in studio tonight. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Yeah, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jared Leto's coming in later on in the week. Bob Saget also coming in later on in the week from The Aristocrats. And by the way, Howie Mandel in The Aristocrats, which is coming out in a wide release this Friday the 19th, the 18th, the day before, at 11 o'clock on Bravo. You can see Hidden Howie, which is the premiere of his new TV show. And
Hidden
then,
camera and sitcom.
Hidden camera and sitcom. And then 11:30, Monday through Thursday, you watch me on Comedy Central. And on Wednesday and Saturday, stay up till midnight, you see Dr. Drew.
That's right, TiVo.
Wow.
Just thinking about that System of a Down song, which made me think of eating, which made me think of our crystal method. I mean, our crap.
System of a Down?
No, our other buddies.
Oh. Yeah, Crystal Method.
Crystal Method, yeah. Somebody sent me a La Cabonita gift certificate.
Mm.
We got to get those guys and go over there.
Yeah, some of the best Mexican food in the world is this place in La Crescenta called La Cabonita. And Crystal Method brings us food from there. Actually, what we do is we identify bands through
the
food
they
bring us.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, System of a Down brings us Armenian food. Crystal Method brings us Mexican food. Yeah,
I didn't bring anything.
Now we brought tub of Purell. Let's talk to Don. It's time to play a little game called Germany or Florida. Howie, we've figured out from doing this show. Actually, I figured out from sitting in the writer's room over at Jimmy Kimmel Live for all those years that all bizarre stories emanate from either Germany or Florida. So here's how the game goes. Don will tell us a story, and then we will guess. Is it Germany or Florida?
All right.
Don?
Oh, this is the theme song.
Yeah, David Alan Greer.
Is it Germany or Florida? Hey! Germany or Florida.
Big ending, too.
Let's find out.
I love the big ending.
How do you think of that stuff?
He doesn't think. Don?
Hi. Hi, guys.
All right, go ahead, baby doll.
Okay. Two policemen were left stunned last week after being mistaken for strippers while investigating a noise complaint. The officers were greeted by a group of women with cries of, "The strippers are here," when they visited the premises. Before they could explain that they were genuine police officers, the two men were surrounded by the group of very interested women. Luckily, before the randy ladies managed to tear off their uniforms, the two terrified officers whipped out their badges to prove that they were, in fact, real policemen. Mm-hmm. After the excitement had calmed down, the men persuaded the women to turn the music down and left them to and encouraged them to wait for the real strippers. The officer's report says there were obvious disappointment on the faces of some of the partygoers, Germany or Florida.
Well, I don't think in Germany they would yell, "The strippers are here."
Yeah. And the other thing is that, well, they could have done it in German, but the point is how do you whip out the badge if you're a uniform cop? And if you're not a uniform cop, then they just thought the plainclothes guys were the strippers. You know what I'm saying? So they whipped out their badge.
Maybe they sort of pointed at their badge or something. This is a real badge.
Whipped it
it's
out.
A badly written story.
Yeah, and it sounds...
And bad writing usually comes out of Florida.
Unless in Germany they don't wear their badges on the outside.
Ooh,
we don't know.
What if
see?
They pulled their badge out?
Yes, in Germany maybe they're required to keep it in a pocket or something.
I'm interesting. Going with Florida. Did it say uniform policeman or just said policeman?
It must be if they're
uniform policeman because that's how
stripper.
The girls
you know the stripper. Right. Well, you've always said the male stripper comes as a job.
Right. Why would a guy in a uniform? Why would he whip out his badge? That's just bad tabloid writing.
Yes,
and
yes.
This. It's just one of those wives' tales things. It's an urban myth.
Let's
I don't think it ever happens.
Let's assume it's bad
like,
writing.
I feel like Florida.
I do, too.
And Howie's going Florida?
I went with
all
Florida.
The way around.
We're going Florida all the way around, Don.
It's Germany.
Oh.
For the reasons we thought, huh?
Maybe a German suburb.
Well,
Fort Lauderdale.
It was in northwest Germany in the town of Bremen. And I checked it out. This is actually from...
She checked it out. She checked it out.
Newspaper, and then I double-checked it.
Double-checked it. Yeah. So then it must have happened.
The whipped out the badge part should
have. That's it.
I wouldn't, normally I wouldn't believe it, but this story has been double-checked.
Yes, yes.
Well, she checked her sources on it. She talked to Deep Throat.
Wow, this wasn't only checked. This is double-checked.
Yeah.
Wow. I would have never guessed.
All right, I want to talk to Robin real quick, who had her leg straightened out. Robin?
Hi.
16?
Hi. Yep.
What's up?
So I heard you guys talking earlier about, that kid who always had the shorter leg, then they're never around anymore. And I was like, oh, my God, I have to call. I'm totally that kid.
Yeah, but you had your leg straightened out, right?
Yeah, I did, but I didn't have it done at birth. I had it done when I was 10.
10.
Why'd they wait so long?
Because they couldn't decide how they were going to do it.
Shorten the long one or lengthen the short one?
What was the injury? What was the issue?
It was just like a birth defect. Like, by the time I was 10, there was 2.5 inches difference.
Wow.
And what did they end up doing? Just
more they femur? Put it in a fixator and stretched it.
In a fixator?
External fixator.
For how long?
It's like a...
Every night when you went to bed?
What happens is that they break the leg and then stick pins in it.
Oh, they break it?
They break it and pull it apart and distract it.
Yeah.
They have to put a piece in there, right?
Not necessarily. Sometimes they get the osteoblast to jump. It's called jumping osteoblast.
But they break the femur.
Probably
the femur's 2.5 inches apart, though?
No, they
broke my tibia.
Tib fib. Yeah.
Painful?
Yeah, it hurt a lot.
First.
I'm guessing she was.
But you're in a way proving our point, Robin, which is that when we were in school, that would be the kid for good. He just was the guy with the short leg. They would never get it corrected.
Wouldn't it have been easier just to get a pair of Adidas and put that block on the bottom of it?
I couldn't buy like the really cool shoes. I had to buy like, weird
Well, now you're
shoes.
Now you're normal again, right?
It's got to suck as a chick.
You're symmetrical now, right?
Sort of.
Pretty
I
much.
I mean, I have some heinous scars, and it's still, like, I still limp, and it's not.
That's all right. You know what? That just makes you accessible for the guys that aren't as hot.
Or not only that, for all the guys are interested, right? It's like the gazelle at the back of the pack.
Yeah.
They're ready to pounce.
Yeah. Are you cute?
No.
Wow. Wait a minute.
Oh, man.
What's up?
Well, you can get that fixed.
Yeah. Why? Yeah. What's the problem? Yeah, they have stretchers for that too. What's the problem with you?
Well, everyone always says that they're cute, and I just wanted to be honest.
Well, cool. I know you're being honest. We appreciate that. But what in your estimation, what's wrong with you physically?
Yeah, a little overweight.
All right.
Is that it?
That's it?
Well, mostly. Like, I couldn't do sports as a kid because I had, like, a thing on my leg. But
yeah, but the weight thing is something you can take care of. See a dietitian. Yeah. Get going.
All right. So it's just a weight thing.
And then, like, my arm. I have the short arm, too, and, like, two fingers on my right hand. So it's kind of something I'm a little sensitive about.
Two fingers on the right hand.
Yeah.
So you're and a thumb or just the two fingers?
Well, it was like one giant like hand that was stuck together, and then when I was like 15 months old, they split it apart and rotated one finger, so I had like an opposable like tyrannosaurus.
Oh, really?
Cool.
Wow, that's nice. And you see, we wouldn't have had that. It would have been Lobster Boy I was growing up.
Right. And yeah. Does your injury or issue have a name?
I don't know.
It's called God Hates Me.
No, have they ever called it by name or anything? Syndrome?
No, it's usually like when people ask me what happens, I just say it's like a birth defect. Like I was just born that way.
And what did happen?
Don't they call it something though?
I don't know. I don't pay attention.
Robin, but for a second, give us what is the interpretation of what happened?
I think just like that, like I was just like. I asked my science teacher about it, and he gave me some, like, crap answer about...
Why don't you ask your mom?
Yeah, why don't you ask your mom what the doctors told her? By the way, science teachers, these guys get $37,000 a year and have junior college educations and don't want to be there.
She doesn't know either. She just was like, oh, you're just special.
You're special.
All right. Well, no, mommy OD'd on something. Yeah. All right. All right, baby. Well, look, here's the deal. Here's the thing, Robin. Mm-hmm. Don't get down on yourself, because you know what?
Let somebody else go down on you.
Yes. You're going to overcompensate and be a great achiever in your life.
And partner.
That's what you're going to do. And here's the deal, too.
Adam just decided that people like you are the people to be in business with and to be in a relationship with.
Well, look, I'll tell you the reality is. Reality is you. If you ever hire a handicapped person, they're the hardest working people on the staff. They show up early. They overcompensate. And that's what you want. And by the way, you could never be fired. You can't be fired.
Right.
This is better than being American Indian.
Right.
You could not fire. Once you get in on with any kind of corporation or anything,
lucky lady.
They are not going to fire you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when you do find a guy, it might take a little longer, but when you do, he's going to love you.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be all about you.
It's a good time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In the meanwhile, why don't you ask mom what's up?
Mm. Just be curious.
You're special?
Mm. All right. Everything happens for a reason, Adam. That's what mom would say.
And the science teacher doesn't even know.
Well, like I said,
ask the geography teacher. I would ask the geography teacher.
I don't think they teach geography in schools anymore.
My kids are taking a full year of geography next year.
Your kids go to school that costs $70,000 a year.
And nothing else, just geography.
That's it. And French.
Oh, geography and French.
I didn't even know what French was.
They're going to grow up to be French geographers.
We will take a little break. Howie Mandel is in studio tonight. We'll be right back after this. Line. I'm Adam. It's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Howie Mandel is in studio tonight. You can find him on the big screen at theaters in The Aristocrats, which is out on the 19th, and then the 18th, Hidden Howie, which is Thursday the 18th at 11 o'clock on Bravo.
Thanks.
Hey, my pleasure.
Oh, my.
All right, let's see. Let's talk to Kevin, who's 22. Kevin?
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, it's
good. It's good. So we were talking earlier about how straight guys have a horrible, negative, visceral reaction to seeing gay erotica.
Uh-huh.
And you're here to say that you're straight and you have to look at gay porn sites to get off.
Well, like you were talking earlier with how I have a compulsion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's kind of like that, and I'm just calling to maybe get some advice.
I think that he's not straight.
That's what I would think, too.
That's the only conclusion that straight guys can reach.
Yeah. You're gay, and thanks for your call.
You're gay, or you're just making this call up.
Or you're tormenting yourself
Ooh.
In some way. Cause
you're punishing yourself.
Well, you're saying this is part of an obsessional preoccupation you have. So tell us about it.
Well, I mean, like, I have girlfriends right now. And
more than one?
Yeah.
Do they have testicles?
No.
Did they at one time?
No. No, I mean, they're both attractive girls. And, I mean, I'm not, like, a guy that has any trouble.
All right.
But, you know, they have these online sites where you can go to and they just, you know, list where you can go meet and hook up with other guys. And I'm just obsessed with them.
Do you do that?
What's that?
Do you do that?
I have a few times. And I don't like it. And
with guys?
So, you know, I'm just hoping, you know.
Wait a minute. Listen, slow down, Kevin. Look, either this is bogus or you're gay.
Those are your choices.
The part, yeah, those A or B, bogus or gay.
There's not a phase.
No, this is bogus. Now it's bogus. Yeah.
It's not bogus, though. I mean, that's the thing.
Well, then you're gay. Look, if you're going online and meeting guys online and hooking up with them, that's what we would call gay.
And there's no such thing as being, like, slightly gay.
No.
No, you're gay.
Well, people could argue that he's bisexual, but and it sounds
why would he compare himself to me? You know, it's like Howie said.
Yeah.
He said it's like Howie said.
Being gay is not like being American Indian, like where you're sharing your 1/18th Iroquois. You ain't 1/18th gay. You're gay.
His thing is, some sort of obsession that he can't control, as opposed to looking at.
But he went from an obsession to a phase.
I know. The fact is,
I'm going through a phase where I can't shake hands.
No, it's gay.
Right.
The gay, and not having trouble accepting it. But
Kevin, this is gay. Hello.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right.
I've just you know, never been told that before. That just feels weird.
Well, you've never been told by the guys you hooked up with that you were gay. They never mentioned to you that you might be gay.
No.
When another man is going down on you, you had no idea that you might be gay.
No.
No.
Well, maybe they couldn't respond because your penis was in their mouth. Yeah. Listen, Kevin, this is bogus.
Fess up.
It's really not, though. I mean, it's really not. Maybe
Look,
naive.
Okay, listen. Kevin, if this isn't bogus, then you have the deductive reasoning of a 4-year-old. You're going out and hooking up with guys physically. You don't think that makes you gay?
Maybe bi. I don't know, but at the same time, I hook up with girls, too, and I'm attracted to them.
Elton John was.
Were you sexually abused growing up?
Something's up.
Never. I had a completely normal upbringing.
No sexual abuse, and you've never been addicted to anything?
Just sex.
All right.
What do you mean, just sex?
Well, I mean, like, when I'm with a girl, you know, we have sex twice a day. Whenever there's not a girl around, you know.
You're describing the circumstance of if this is true, which I'm still having trouble with.
Yeah, it's not adding up, Kevin. Yeah. Hey, Kevin, you know the Geneva Convention of Boguosity. You got to fess up, brother.
I really am not bogus. What were you going to say, though, Drew? If this is true, what were you going
to
say?
That it just absolutely have to conclude that there was a sexual abuse history there, because that's what creates these behaviors. The confusion, the compulsive sexuality, the lack of sexual, or, you know, specific sexual orientation. I mean, that's all adds up to that. That, you know.
Yeah.
So the only two conclusions you can reach, either I was abused or I'm gay?
Both.
No.
Going abused and gay.
Abused, gay.
And gay.
And abused or bogus.
It's not bogus. Yeah. It's bogus.
Yeah.
Kevin, I'm hearing it in your voice. It's not coming through.
Yeah. Sorry to disappoint you guys, but it's not.
You were abused, gay, and a liar.
Here's the problem, is that unfortunately,
I got things going for me.
Because these are serious issues, you know, if you're staying with it, we have to treat it with according seriousness. Right. And if you were a sexual abuse survivor, which if you sort of collect your history, I think you'll find something happened there.
Yeah.
And you know,
he says no.
And you're wondering about why you're so compulsive sexually, as you described it, and you're having difficulty sort of knowing why your sexual orientation is so difficult for you to make sense of. Then go get some treatment for this and straighten things out.
Just
a general therapist would be fine.
Never had a camp counselor take a pass at you or anything?
No, never.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Well, whatever. There's something here that needs to be straightened out and figured out. And straightened is probably not the direction it's going to go.
Something's wrong with Kevin. Something's...
It was a very unsatisfying call.
Very unsatisfying. Yeah. Something's wrong with that kid. Yeah. And that's why I just get the bogus part.
Yeah.
So I want to strangle him over the phone.
Yeah.
But something wasn't adding up.
Right.
And And Drew, we've never had one of those really that we once
we've had a strong bogus feeling and it wasn't
once
bogus.
Every 18 months.
Well,
we
how can you? How can you? Why don't you get that girl that you had on the call before to maybe double check?
Oh yeah, the double checker.
Right.
Yeah, yes. She's good.
The Florida and Germany girl. Not yeah. just check him.
Try one more time. Yeah.
Double check.
No, give Kevin I'm one done last with Kevin. Chance. Oh, go to hell. Just get some therapy.
So you guys aren't happy unless he admits that it's bogus.
Well, there's sort of a rule on this
it's
show.
It's hard. It's because hard when the bogus bell is ringing in your head really loudly.
Yeah, and they're talking about things that are
clean.
Things are very serious and very difficult and very painful, and you can't connect with anything real, so you're sort of talking about in abstractions, and it's very unsatisfying. We'll go get some treatment.
And, he's kind of and he's a little bit of a wise ass, a little bit curt, bit short, a little bit of smart ass.
Yeah.
All right, so get some therapy,
some treatment. See a mental health professional and go from
there,
which is unsatisfying. You know, it's not here's what we got to go at. Here's what you look forward to.
I thought we helped him. I thought they identified a gay.
He's not going to do a thing.
Faggot, Sammo, run.
I felt,
and he just hung
can't
up.
Can't I feel like I helped?
Yeah, it's a bad sign when they hang up quickly like that.
He hung up.
You're ruining it for me. I thought I helped somebody.
We gotta take a break.
Yeah.
We do gotta take a break.
No, you did, Hi.
Thank you.
Did. Sammo?
Hi. Yeah, yes.
You're attracted to younger girls?
I am, actually, yeah.
How young?
Well, can I tell you something, Dr. Drew? Your call screener was challenging my use of the word hebephile.
You don't like Jews?
No, that's not what I'm saying, man. I'm saying, like...
Oh, Sammo sounds like a delight. What's hebephile?
We'll look it up.
People that he does young Jews. He does young Jews.
He cruises bat mitzvahs. We'll take ourselves a break and be right back after this. Yeah. Well, that's it. Great to be back. Even if we didn't get on for the first 10 or 15 minutes. I want to thank Howie Mandel and give Howie another quick plug. Him, Howie, is going to be on Bravo 11 o'clock, August 18th.
The hidden
That's
cameras
this
from
Thursday.
The Tonight Show. Watch me annoy people.
Yeah, I'm going to be watching. I've seen the promos, and they look provocative. Drew will be on. I'll be on Comedy Central this week. And then, of course, you got the Aristocrats opening up on Friday.
Check out other hidden cameras at HowieMandel.com.
We'll take a little extendo break. And until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or the station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.